Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you can be listening to right here, youtube.com/ Steven Larson, and available wherever podcasts can be found. Be sure to hit that subscribe button, the little notify bell, and then click on all to make sure you always get your new Going In Raw notifications.
Yeah.
And, of course, we're on the Patreon at patreon.com/ Steven Larson.
Yeah.
That's where we get the video questions and text questions from for Matt Chat. Of course, at the $20 a month mark, you too can submit your video question or text question right here to Matt Chat. It's Sunday. We're going to answer some questions. Oh, boy. How about that takeover last night? That was terrific.
Well, it's today. It's on Sunday.
It's on Sunday this week?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's all today about, hasn't how about happened
that? Yet. Oh, wow. Wow. Really excited. Looking forward
Can't
to it.
Can't wait for that one. Anyways, let's hop right into it. A lot going on. We're on the road to WrestleMania. We're kind of on a couple roads. We're on a road to Super Showdown, road to Elimination Chamber.
Road to Mania then.
Yeah.
Road to AEW Revolution. Road to TakeOver Portland. That's today.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Reaction live streams to that. Yeah?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, but kick things off here. Jacksonville's
number one.
Guion Halili has a question. Take it away, Guion.
Hey there, friendos. This is Jacksonville's number one Matt Chatter, Guion Halili, back with another Matt Chat question. This week I want to know, with Matt Hardy being confirmed to be done with the WWE, what's his exit on Raw, the proper way of him saying goodbye to the WWE universe and WWE family? I thought it was a creative way. He basically ran down his whole career and tying it to Edge's whole thing with Randy. But yeah, was it the best way for him to exit WWE, or could there have been a better way? I don't know. Have a discussion or a debate. I don't care. You guys own the show. All right. Too sweet. Too good. Later, guys.
Thank you, Guion.
Thank you, Guion.
I'll go first.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought that maybe my, like, if we need it, because I know we both feel it. Yeah, they did Matt Hardy right.
Yeah.
His send-off, I thought it was very, very effective. Thought it was cool. Maybe, because so for the couple months preceding this segment, the only time we've seen Matt Hardy has been in matches where he just comes out and loses. They've been essentially enhancement matches. And so maybe they could have, like, used him to build up to this moment a bit better instead of just trotting him out for enhancement matches. Maybe. But that's kind of a quibble. I thought in a vacuum, I thought this really added a lot, given Matt's extensive history with Edge. That it was absolutely appropriate for him to come out and really take Randy Orton to task for his treatment of Edge.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. Thought it was really
good. I thought it was really well done too. Especially given the circumstances, his brother's on the shelf still.
Yeah.
Apparently he's going to be at the PC coming up soon to try to see if he's close to getting back in shape, ready to get back in the ring. That being said, here's an idea I just thought of.
Okay.
So Orton does the concerto, and at the moment of impact, a chair to head, lights go out.
Mm-hmm.
Lights come back up. Matt Hardy has disappeared.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, you know, you give him one little final nod to the broken woken stuff. His vessel has left.
Yeah.
WWE.
Yeah.
And with it, Broken Woken Matt Hardy as well.
Yeah, that doesn't really service the WWE much, though.
No, not at all.
That just helps him go become the Exalted One.
Yeah.
I would not do that. I would never.
Well, I mean, it's a sign of respect to Matt Hardy, who's given his body to your company over the course of many years.
Nah, I think the paycheck is good enough. So your idea shot down. No, don't like it.
And then over the speakers, you hear him laughing.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, but then aren't you just setting up a match that isn't going to happen?
No.
No, you don't think so? I think people didn't expect him to come back.
No.
They'd be like, oh, we want to see Broken Matt versus, he re-signed versus Randy Orton. And then Ryan Satin shows up. Nah, that's how they wrote him off. Oh, okay.
I think it'd be a fun send-off, something different than just getting beat up and getting assisted
how about
by
this?
Trainers.
How about this? Okay, we can compromise.
What?
Lights go down.
Uh-huh.
They come up. He's still laying there, but he's naked. He's got, like, blood all over him. And they're like, what the hell?
Where does clothes... doesn't make any sense.
Where does clothes go?
Yeah.
And why is he naked all of a sudden? Then you really get people wondering. That's creative. Why is naked matter? It's a new variation.
Make any sense.
Free the delete. free the peen.
Yeah, I guess so.
Free the nipple.
Nude Matt Hardy.
Nude Matt Hardy. There you go. I don't know. Just an idea I had. He's got like really harsh tan lines too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, next up, the doctor himself, mid-surgery. Well, he's sending us this question.
He's got the surgical mask on. Doesn't mean he could be
one
in
of these times. He's going to show up with a surgical mask. There's going to be blood all over him.
Maybe this could be pre-op. We don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyways,
man.
We do know Doc Hensler is next. Take it away, Doc Hensler.
Hey, Stephen Larson. This is Doc Hensler here with my Matt Chat question for the week. So with Shayna Baszler making her debut on Raw and sucking or eating or doing something to Becky Lynch. I want to know what y'all's favorite debut has been. We've had a bunch of really great ones over the past couple years, from the NXT stars coming up to Raw and SmackDown, but what has been y'all's favorite debut? And this could be Raw, SmackDown, NXT, it doesn't really matter. So I want to hear it. So give it to me.
Thank you, Doc Hensler.
Thank you, Dr. Hensler.
Oh, I got to go first. So, Steve,
yeah.
Do I have a scoop for you?
Oh, news brief. News.
No. Scott Hall showing up on WCW Nitro in 1996 to kick off the whole NWO thing, the whole
acid wash denim vest.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
Pretty cool.
You know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here.
And he's like, have I got a scoop for you?
He said, you heard it here first.
Scott Hall
and WCW. You heard it here first.
All right, that's
a good one. As far as all time, we took Chris Jericho's debut in WWF out of the because that's tops on any list. That's
yeah,
the best.
Yeah. That's out.
That's the absolute best.
Yeah, that's no doubt.
So next for me is maybe Scott Hall kicking off the whole NWO thing. As far as more recent history in WWE, you have a good answer here. I won't spoil it. So I'm trying to think of another one. Oh. Kevin Owens. When Kevin Owens showed up on that episode of Raw and beat up John Cena, man.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
And that was incredible. Yeah. Especially that's your answer. And then that, or like, how is NXT call-ups done right?
Owens might be the tops. That might be actually the best NXT call-up like ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It was really good.
So that's a really good one. I have on here, see, to me, it's funnier to talk about the worst ones. I'll give one of my personal favorites, and that's Finn Balor. I thought when they when they gave Raw its graphics overhaul, not this latest one, but the one prior to that.
When they did the first draft.
Yeah, for that draft.
The most recent first draft, yeah.
And Finn Balor was up on the stage with everybody else, and then they mentioned his name as being in line for Universal titles shot. Like they're putting
some matches,
Fatal 4-Way matches, I think, together.
Yeah.
And he was named. Like the entire crowd just sort of parts, and then he sort of steps up, and he just looks, he has like the coolest vibe.
That was the week after the draft, I believe, because mm-hmm. he was just announced as being drafted, didn't show up on that episode, I believe.
Right, yeah, exactly. And so he was there, and it was like, whoa, you know, like the way people reacted to him. And then he just has a star quality anyways. And he wasn't doing the cheesy smiling thing yet. He just came off as like super cool, instant contender. I thought that was really neat. The Owens one is actually better than that, though. I like talking about worst debuts.
Yeah.
I have on here Hogan's WCW debut when I think they just threw him a parade in like downtown Disney or something.
Disney
like
World,
that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And they're like, you know, it was just a bunch of confused Disney World goers.
It reminds me of that time that I was going
like, oh, it's a Hulk Hogan impersonator.
I was going
to. He looks smaller.
I know.
He looks deflated.
It's deflated Hulk Hogan. reminds me of the time kind of, not really, but kind of, but I went to Disneyland and I didn't know it. And it was, they were doing the one of the Pirates of the Caribbean movie premieres.
Oh, yeah.
And so they shut down the park early.
Oh, man. What a bummer.
Yeah. And so we were trying to leave, and you know, down in the not downtown Disney, but the Main Street in Disneyland, when you first walk in, you know, they have all those shops on the side, and they actually have a road down the middle that you can walk through.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Well, that was all barricaded off. So we had thousands upon thousands of people trying to get through on the sidewalks.
That's horrible.
On Main Street.
That's horrible.
At like 5 o'clock.
That sucks.
Because they were shutting down the park.
Man, screw those people.
So really nothing at all. Like, but yeah, I guess you can imagine that they closed down the street because Hulk Hogan was on a convertible, sitting in the back of a convertible.
Yeah, maybe. Not quite a Johnny Depp movie premiere. Hulk Hogan in a convertible.
But at least people that went to Disney World that day could at least say they saw Hulk
was
Hogan.
It Disney
I didn't get
Universal?
To see Johnny Depp. It was Disney.
It was Disney World.
Disney? It was Disney World in Orlando, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's, I mean, kind of impressive, I guess. So, yeah, you get to see Hulk Hogan impersonator. And then other debuts. I mean, who can forget? This should really be a 10 for the win list. Who can forget Bret Hart curmudgeonly debuting in WCW?
Yeah.
That was just sad.
It was.
There was that. And then, of course, Lex Luger in his puffy shirt.
Oh, man, tops.
Bob Roode smiling a lot.
Mm, goodness.
That was awful. There are not a lot of good NXT debuts.
The Ascension immediately embarrassing themselves or being in a position that they were going to be embarrassed.
Yeah, those are all bad. Nothing beats the Monday Night Wars debuts, though.
Oh, I know.
Like, yeah.
Especially like when Sandman showed up on WCW is
hardcore hack.
Yeah.
What? Who's that guy? Why is he wearing like gray?
Yeah.
Where's his Budweiser shirt?
I know.
Why is he wearing a gray like club shirt?
I know. I know. I know. Why is he called Hardcore Hack? Why is he not Sandman? Why is he not Sandman?
I'm confused. Couldn't he be Sandman? What the heck?
I understand you can't play...
what the heck?
I know. You can't play Enter Sandman for Metallica. I get that. That's like...
But you've already ripped off Nirvana and Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
For some of your theme songs. Can't you just rip off Enter Sandman?
Yeah, I know. It's not.
Hardcore Hack.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Oh, man.
And I got a question from Joshua Martinez about TakeOver.
Man, who filmed this? Martin Scorsese?
Man.
Look at this shot.
Winner of the Friendo Award for Best Cinematography.
No kidding.
Every episode of Matt Chat.
He's Joshua back Martinez. At it. Let's see.
Hey, Friendos. Joshua Martinez back this week with a Matt Chat question. So this weekend is NXT TakeOver Portland, and this is another TakeOver that takes place not during a WWE weekend. And it seems like it's a little longer. I think it's, for so far, just an extra match. My question to you is, Could it be that NXT is starting to be more comfortable in trying to, you know, make longer pay-per-views and more pay-per-views as to compete with maybe AEW? And do you think that's a good thing or bad thing? I mean, I'm excited because if not, I wouldn't see a takeover live here in Portland, but be interested to see what you guys think. Thanks for those.
Thank you, Joshua.
You go first.
Okay. So here's the thing. There's one more match than usual this time around.
Uh-huh.
If it goes long, I have faith that it's going to be justifiable, that the matches are going to run the amount of time necessary for them to tell a compelling story, as they always do. I'll put it this way. I have complete and total faith in Triple H and HBK, because apparently he's got a hand in these takeovers also, yeah. Primarily NXT, or UK rather. I have complete faith that these NXT events are going to be well thought out,
yeah,
and well executed, because until they stumble, I have no reason to believe that they will.
They're gonna get the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, for sure.
Track record is such that they can have them until they stumble, as you mentioned. They can have them monthly, and they can be 10 hours long. But until one of them sucks,
yeah,
you're gonna walk into each and every one of those thinking this could be awesome.
Yeah, right.
That being said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Takeovers are the perfect little 2.5 hour, you know, quarterly shows.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the timing, the pacing of how it enables NXT to tell their stories, how when they have their blow-up matches, is perfect, because monthly pay-per-views, by and large, with them happening monthly is too frequently.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'd be shocked. Nothing will shock me.
I mean, apparently there's been some push and pull within WWE about, you know, whether it be Vince or someone else saying, hey, these takeovers are really great. They probably do really well for us. We should do more of them. And Triple H is like, no, there's a reason they do so well. It's because they're not monthly.
Now, what I wouldn't mind maybe is adding to the UK schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like a third takeover in the United Kingdom would be cool.
If you end up with, between the two brands, 8 takeovers a year,
mm-hmm.
like maybe 5 on one side and 3 on the other, which is doing what you'd say.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be fine. That'd mm-hmm. be great. Mm-hmm. I do think that UK probably needs an additional takeover. I might be more inclined. Every week I think about watching UK, and then I just don't. Although I hear terrific stuff happens there. I would really like to watch it.
Yeah.
But they don't really build to much. I don't know. There's no excuse. I'm sure it's great. I just haven't made the time to watch it. So
there's a lot of wrestling to get through during the course of the week.
Yeah, there is.
I'd like to watch 205 Live, but I don't for the same reason.
I really have stopped caring about 205 Live.
I know. It's unfortunate because there's a lot of really good talent on that show.
I get my Leo Rush and I get my Angel Garza on Raw or NXT. Mm-hmm. And Jordan Devlin now is great.
Mm-hmm.
I get my fill of those guys. There's not really nobody else on the roster that I really care about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Seemingly, Swerve puts on matches on NXT.
Yeah.
So I'm cool with the...
Yeah, Swerve's great.
Yeah, Swerve's awesome.
Swerve's great.
But, yeah, I mean, the original players, like Daivari, Tony Nese, Gallagher even, I don't really care about them.
Yeah.
Brian Kendrick, I don't know.
Yeah. I understand all that.
Yeah.
I know. I understand.
All right.
I get that. I get that.
No disrespect meant to anybody.
Obviously not.
All the respect, though, to Christopher Eppersod.
Yeah, this is a great question.
Let's see what he has to say here.
Hello, Steven Larson. So my question is, WrestleMania is going to Hollywood next year. I'm pretty excited. I actually like WrestleMania 21 with all the spoof they did. You know, I think the best one was the Austin and Gladiator one. So my question is, I want you guys to pitch and spoof of a parody of which WWE superstar would you like to see perform to hype up WrestleMania, like good commercial or something. All right, guys, be creative.
Thank you, Christopher.
Thank you, Christopher.
Great question. We got some fun answers, Steve. Shall we alternate?
Yeah, man, let's
I'll go first. So the first one I have, you know that scene from The Revenant where Leo gets attacked by the bear?
Yeah, that's a great scene.
And like tears him up.
It's terrifying.
It's terrifying. It's horrible, terrifying.
Yeah.
How about we do that?
Oh, wow.
You get Drake Maverick as Leo.
Yeah.
And you get his good friend, Braun Strowman, as bear.
Oh, wow.
So you get the bear Strowman in there.
That's really good.
Tearing into Drake Maverick. That could be fun.
Hey, have you seen that new the trailer for The Invisible Man?
No.
We're like, it's actually kind of cool. They're doing like going like a real horror route with it.
Uh-huh.
We're like, what's her face?
Elizabeth Moss.
Yeah. So she's sitting there, and then you see she's in front of like a leather chair, like a lounge chair, and just you hear it like a guy sit down and it sort of folds in.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's cool. It's really creepy. Yeah. What if you did that with EC3?
Okay, that's good.
Because he's the Invisible Man. Nobody's seen him. I just thought of that one on the spot.
Well, you could also do John Cena because his whole gimmick is you can't see me.
That's probably a better idea.
And that's a joke he made on Twitter about it could be on SmackDown.
But my first one that I wrote down was the 205 live cast recreate the human centipede.
All right.
Well, it was ass to mouth.
Yeah, I know what that's disgusting. All about. It would be gross. Next, I got Peter Dune and Matt Rydell.
Good, Matthew Rydell.
Doing a Bill and Ted thing.
Oh, that's good. That sounds normal. That's like up their alley.
Yeah, especially Matthew Rydell.
Well, given their recent strap match and how brutal it was, I want to say Daniel Bryan and The Fiend recreate Passion of the Christ.
All right.
Holy crap.
Brutal.
That guy got whooped to heck. Man. So you got like, you know, Daniel Bryan is Jesus. The mm-hmm. Fiend is like Roman guard
mm-hmm.
or whatever. He's Wattack.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. Next, I have Undisputed.
Might be a bummer for the crowd.
Oh, that'd be a huge bummer. My next one will not be a bummer. This will be a crowd pleaser. You got Undisputed Era,
uh-huh.
New Day, Seth's group of guys,
uh-huh.
and Imperium.
Oh, yeah.
Doing the newscaster fight from Anchorman.
I would love to see that. The German news team. Coming up in the news today.
Du bist tot.
Yeah, there you go.
I think that means you are dead.
Perfect. All right, so I got this. Undertaker, Stone Cold, Triple H. Maybe we get Mankind in there. And they all get de-aged computer graphics for scenes from The Irishman. So the Undertaker is like, you know, Al Pacino is Hoffa, but it's Undertaker is Hoffa.
Good, I remember my German correctly.
Good job. And he's all in the courtroom, and somebody comes up to him and tries to blast him. He's like, you charge a guy who has a gun, but you run away from a guy who's got a knife. You charge a guy with a gun. You run away from a guy with a knife.
See, what was he talking about? His son. My son charged him.
Look at my son charged him. See what he did with this kid here. It's so good.
That was funny. I got to watch that movie finally.
And then Undertaker will be the guy, like, because in the end, you know, Hoffa gets killed by Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, yeah.
Stone Cold will be the De Niro guy.
That's good.
So he'll be like, oh, man, this is a setup. We got to get out of here. And he's like, what?
Clack. Yeah. I got one more. Randy Orton, the Snake Man.
Why would you put a fish in a car? You don't do that. You got to wrap it up, otherwise the smell's going to get in the car. Anyways, go ahead, sorry.
Randy Orton is Snake Man from Dreamscape.
Oh, it's terrifying.
And then Edge could be the Dennis Quaid.
That's too scary, man. That's good. Oh, I like that, the Dennis Quaid.
There you go. That'd be good. It'd be a reference that not many people would understand.
Nobody would get that one.
But I would love it
because I would get it totally.
Snake Man Randy Orton, give it to me.
We need to do a watch along with Dreamscape one of these days.
Oh, hell yeah, man. That was a great movie. I used to watch that a lot when I was a kid.
Me too. And there's titties in that movie.
And it's really messed up.
It's a really messed up movie, yeah.
Yeah.
Like a dude goes into a dream of this lady having like an affair with some dude. He's like a little Weasley guy.
What was the one that's kind of like that with Christopher Walken in it, though?
Oh, that was a messed up movie too. It was that was a Stephen King one, I think.
No, I'm not talking about Dead Zone.
Oh.
I'm talking about a different one.
The hell? There was another one?
Yeah.
He was in another Dead Zone-esque movie?
Kind of.
That's crazy.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Anyways, let's move on to the next
one. All right, let's see here. While you look that up, Cult of False Realities has a question about a Mania matchup coming up. Let's see what he has to say.
What's going on, Steven Larson, all the friendos out there? Cult of False Realities here, back with another Matt Chat question. And my question for this week is, why is WWE going to make Rhea versus Charlotte a total letdown? I feel like it could be the next Seth and Finn from SummerSlam with all build up. You know, when Seth was telling Finn that he was just another version of him. When Rhea came in, they were literally saying how she was basically like Charlotte and she changed her look and she is amazing. So, explain why, basically why this is going to be a total letdown, or you can do a, is it going to be a letdown, is not going to be a letdown, something like that. You guys choose. It could be a debate. You could say why. I don't, it's up to you guys. Too sweet, too good, shoulder lead, blah, 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 blah. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Cult of False Realities.
Was that Natalie Wood's last movie?
I think so. Brainstorm. Oh, yeah. What I was thinking of.
Oh,
Brainstorm.
Wow.
Brainstorm. That's what I was thinking.
Who do you think killed her, man?
I don't want to get into that.
Wow. Really?
Mm-mm.
Out of respect for, like, her?
Yeah.
Or just, like, because I mean, you're scared of, like, freaking, what's his face coming
Robert
after
Wagner
you?
Coming
yeah,
after
yeah,
me?
Yeah, man.
No.
He might. Larson.
I don't think so.
I'm a huge Matt Chat viewer.
Is he still alive?
I would think that once he dies, the cops are going to come out and say, oh, yeah, we have video of him doing it.
Because like, if he's still alive, he's like really old.
Yeah, he's alive, and he is really old. He's 90.
Anyways, you go first.
Okay.
Answer Cult of False Realities question, would you please?
So, if the question is, I don't think that the build necessarily is going to be a letdown. I don't think the story that they're going to tell is going to be a letdown. If anything, if history is to be believed, like, one of the biggest matches of all time that should have gone down at WrestleMania in recent history was Charlotte versus Asuka. And I really don't think that match lived up to what it really should have been. So I think it's possible that the actual match, given how many matches are typically on Mania, given that they might be scaling down the amount of time they give Mania because that's been what they've been doing recently with their pay-per-views, although Mania might be the exception, I think it's possible that the match itself, it's not going to be like a takeover match. It's not going to be like a 25-minute barn burner. It'll probably be like a solid 12-minute match that you probably figure, man, this probably should have gone another, you know, 5 minutes to really heighten the drama. So I can see that as a point of view. But in terms of everything else, like the lead, I think the build has been pretty decent so far. Like,
yeah, I
get the mind games kind of stuff.
And the idea, I feel like, is Charlotte trying to, as you mentioned, play mind games with perhaps an overzealous young champion.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, there's still about 2 months of build yet to happen. I think the build will begin in earnest following TakeOver on Sunday.
Yeah, for sure.
There's reports, spoiler alert, Charlotte might be there.
Mm-hmm.
Rhea could get her answer as soon as Sunday, or Charlotte might just still, you know, say, I'm gonna drag this along a bit longer.
Yeah.
Who knows? In the end though, I think if the match doesn't have to be a 25-minute takeover quality match, if in the end of the day the match delivers, then a lot of times people will forgive a less than great build up if the match is good. It might not be as memorable as it could have been, it might not have the stakes one could see, or people might not have the same level of attachment to the outcome of the match. But if the match is good, people would be like, all right, that was a good match.
This
it
is
paid
what,
off.
This is, yeah, but this is also one of those where it might be more, it might be considered a letdown if a certain person doesn't win. If Charlotte wins this match, number one, I mean, it's obviously they keep on talking about the title, so it seems really unlikely that Charlotte's actually going to win this match and win the title.
Yeah.
So you would think that unless they did a thing where they had a rematch on NXT TV and Rhea won there, but I don't really foresee that. Anything could happen, I suppose. But Rhea beating Charlotte is a big, big moment.
Yeah.
And one that is, I think also, even if the match is relatively underwhelming, if they have the perfect final minute for the finish and Rhea wins it after maybe being on the verge of losing it,
mm-hmm.
I think it'll go down. It'll be very, very high. I think there's a lot of ways that this can be remembered as something really cool.
Yeah.
But I think it all kind of hinges on Rhea winning this thing.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, I guess, you know, Triple H said that he considers Shayna part of the NXT roster unless a deal is swung. So let's say at Mania, Shayna beats Becky. She's Raw Women's Champion. Charlotte beats Rhea. She's NXT Women's Champion. There's your deal there.
Yeah. Yeah. And the idea, the sight of Charlotte holding that NXT title is a fascinating one.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really interesting one.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of great talent in NXT that could be a lot of fun to see.
And then you get the story of Rhea climbing back to get that title off Charlotte.
Yeah.
Which they might see value in that story. I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yep.
I mean, this could totally be one of the things. Like, I'm probably going to be, you know, saying, yeah, Rhea's totally going to win this. But they could pull a swerve here. We just don't know.
It kind of depends on the rest of the card, too.
You think so?
Yeah.
I kind of think this exists in a bit of a vacuum.
Well, I mean, what
way do you mean?
I mean, just in terms of, I mean, I feel like last year was a bit of an anomaly where there was three matches that the fans were heavily invested in seeing their person win.
Oh yeah, and yeah.
And the
yeah.
way they booked the show, more or less allowed that to happen. If they had sacked those three matches towards the end of the card, just in terms of the ebb and flow of the show, the story of the show unfolding, that wouldn't have taken place. But they had Brock and Seth open the show, Seth won. And then you have Kofi and Daniel Bryan right in the middle, Kofi wins. And then you have the women's match, the main event, Becky wins. So the fans get their choice winning all three matches, but because of the ebb and flow of the show and how it was structured, I felt like just the structure of the show allowed that to happen.
I kind of think that this isn't up there with. So, like, yeah, I get it. The fans are going to want to see Rhea win. But the intrigue of Charlotte winning the title and what that means, I think, is also pretty interesting. And I'm not sure the fans will start crapping all over
no,
the
match. No, I don't necessarily mean in that sense. I'm just trying to say in terms of the structure of the show, mm-hmm. if there's any other huge surprises or shocking mm-hmm. outcomes they have planned, influence.
I think Rhea winning and Charlotte winning are both kind of shocking moments, you know? Because, like, man, are they really going to have Rhea beat Charlotte? That's a big deal. That's a huge deal. But at the same time, Charlotte is NXT champion.
Yeah,
that's a big deal too. So I think they're both very interesting scenarios.
Oh, they definitely could be one.
So I don't know. Maybe I'm just backtracking on what I said earlier. I don't know.
Well, you could reconsider.
Well, Charlotte winning is a big deal. Like it her is. Having the title is a really surprising. Interesting
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, it would be surprising.
Yeah.
Next, got a question from Rich.
Okay,
friendos, Rich the Smash Bro here. In the week of Valentine's Day, you must choose two female wrestlers to take out for Valentine's Day. Take your marriages out of the equation. Take all limitations out of the equation. Your two dudes taking out a couple ladies. Who do you pick? Where do you go? What do you do? And the most important question coming from the Smash Bro is, do you smash? Let me know, friendos. Too good, brother.
Thank you, Rich.
Thank you, Rich.
Go ahead.
So, like, we're both married, so it's kind of, I'm just going to start talking about, like, banging WWE superstars. That's a little tacky, isn't it?
It is tacky, and there's always the possibility that, you know, we haven't done any interviews of late, but down the line.
Yeah, I know. That being said, Eva Marie, because there might be, like, a wardrobe malfunction there. Ew!
Now, it would be cool to sit down with a couple veterans.
Oh yeah,
they've traveled the world, wrestled all over the place,
Larson,
and hear their
Larson
stories.
Prefers the elder women.
In terms of just like a what was it called, table for three? The WB.
Wow, you're going for the threesome. Interesting.
Jeez, Louise.
Lovely.
That type of format where. I get to have a conversation with say Becky to Io Shirai.
Oh yeah.
And get to talk about their experience wrestling all over the world.
Well, everyone.
You know, what they had to deal with to make their way to the top of the industry. That would be really interesting.
Yeah, and then you reach for a titty.
No. Not at all, Steve.
Oh man. I'm just clowning around.
Not at all.
I know. We're all very serious family guys. Okay. Yes. It's all good.
And we're professionals here.
Yes, we are.
On Going and Wrong.
Yeah. Then I reach for a titty.
Hands off me. Don't you ever do that.
Is that an HR issue?
Don't you see?
We don't have anything posted.
Well, we got to be in compliance, Steve. So.
All right. Sorry. My bad.
Just picture it there.
I got to take some training now, some
you
sexual
do.
Harassment training.
Go to the back room, sit for the front of the seminar for the next 12 hours.
All right. Fair enough.
And then I expect a 5-page written apology.
I'm going to watch one of them old sexual harassment VHS tapes. I'll just watch one of those. No shoulder rubs at the copy machine.
Hey, Karen.
We got a text question here from Luis Areza. He says, should they stick with the co-branded pay-per-views like they do them right now, or should they do alternating pay-per-views except for the big five, Money in the Bank included?
What do you think? Keep it how it is. Keep it how it is.
Keep it how it is. I didn't like the cut. I didn't like when it was single branded. It just felt like
it felt confusing, and it felt like
they kept them monthly, didn't
yeah.
they?
Yeah.
So it was like a Raw one, and the next week a SmackDown.
It felt like glorified episodes of Raw or SmackDown. Yeah. It really didn't have a whole lot of. It didn't feel weighty or have like much in the way of stakes. No, keep it how it is. You kind of get the best of the best from both shows.
Yeah.
I see no reason to change course. It's worked fairly well so far.
And he says also finishers that look the most devastating. And which ones look the least? To me, the last ride looks pretty goddamn devastating.
Yeah, power bombs of pretty much any variety look like they could be bad.
Power bombs look rough.
Like if you're in a bar fight and someone power bombs you, you're probably
you're done for.
Yeah, the odds of you remember to tuck your chin.
Yeah,
in the midst of a bar fight,
you're not gonna remember to do that.
But like Starship Pain.
Yeah, that's very silly.
Looks the least devastating.
The skull crushing finale. Doesn't look really devastating.
I mean, if someone forced that upon you in a bar fight, they're dropping you on your face.
If somebody tried to come next,
because
to me,
your arms are trapped like this because you're in a full Nelson.
Yeah,
and someone drops you face first on the
floor. Okay, fair enough. Choke slam looks really bad.
Yeah, but I don't know how they can really muscle you up for a choke slam. It'd be more like a trip.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know, man. I've seen some World Star videos where some dudes got choke slammed.
Yeah,
like we've even seen like German suplexes. That are like in football, people do that.
Yeah. Seen power bombs in fight videos. Yeah.
Yeah, but like I mean, obviously, like the leg drop, the people's elbow,
not gonna do anything.
The five knuckle shuffle,
not gonna do anything.
That doesn't do anything.
It's not gonna do anything.
He doesn't even. He just goes like this.
Yeah,
doesn't make any sense.
None. Yeah.
Anyways. That's it for Matt Chat. Thanks, everybody, for your questions. We definitely appreciate it. How long was this episode?
Yeah, we got to about a half hour.
What a breezy
episode.
Yeah, look
at that. Half hour. Right. That seems to be the norm these days.
Yay
fine.
For us.
We'll be back later this evening with a takeover live stream of our reactions and then a recap afterwards.
Fun stuff.
So join us for that, please.
Yep. And until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.